Hello. Welcome to Add This to Your List. I'm Fumi.
It hurts so much.
Joined by Mark and Tom. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, my God. That was...
Hello. We are feeling silly. It is late. Two of us are... Well, all three of us are ill in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
If not physically in the head, but...
That was not the best hello I've ever given, but please forgive me.
But it's what you got.
If this is your first time listening to us, we swear we're better.
Absolutely. I am trying my hardest right now. I'm not doing that well. I definitely have a head cold. Mark, Tom, and I were just talking about the coronavirus.
You don't have that, do you?
No.
I was Googling the symptoms because I was like, girl, I think LA got some cases.
Yeah. Be careful. I know it's in New York. I think I saw it like an airport.
Yeah. It's everywhere now.
But we've got a good show for you today. We're going to talk about housekeeping. We're going to talk about housekeeping and headlines, then we're going to get into our list, and then we're going to talk about the Grammys.
Which matches our mood,
honestly. It's been a somber, I mean, obviously I live in Los Angeles, so it hasn't been an easy couple days. It's been really, really sad. So that's probably adding to my mood as well. I drive down the streets and you keep seeing murals of like Kobe and his daughter. It's like really, really heartbreaking.
It is so heartbreaking.
It's really sad. So let's get into the show today. Let's start off with Tom. What is your headlines?
My news item? Yeah, I thought this was pretty interesting. So, Clea DuVall, do you guys remember her from the 90s?
Of course, love her.
Bitch was in every horror movie. I loved her, too. She was like, she was kind of like Eliza Dushku before Eliza Dushku was Eliza Dushku.
Interesting. And she was just on Veep.
Think about it.
She was just on Veep for a while.
Oh, so was she?
Still,
oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In a pretty prominent role. Oh, yeah.
So, she wrote and she is going to direct a movie called Happiest Season. And it's going to star Kristen Stewart and Mary Steenburgen and a couple other cool people. Dan Levy is going to be in it as well from Schitt's Creek. It is going to be Kristen Stewart plays a woman who goes home for Christmas with her girlfriend. And she plans to propose to her girlfriend. And unbeknownst to her, her family is super conservative and they are not going to be here for it. So, that sounds fun to me. It's going to be a theatrical release sometime in November. I don't know if it's going to do so well in theaters, but I don't know. Kristen Stewart is kind of hit or miss lately. And I really have nothing to base on whether or not Clea DuVall is a good director or a writer. But, you know, hey, I'm here for new and original stuff and excited to check it out.
It's a good group for sure. Really good group in front of and behind the camera, I think.
Oh, Aubrey Plaza is going to be in it as well.
Oh, great. Yeah, look at that. Love that. I feel like Clea DuVall has directed before. I'm looking it up, but I feel like I remember seeing that she directed The Intervention. That's right. I never saw it, but a couple years ago, the movie The Intervention came out with a big cast. Natasha Lyonne, Jason Ritter, Kobe Smulders, Melanie Lynskey. So, yeah, I think it's... I'm excited. I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah.
I do, too.
Mark, what's your news?
So my news, if you guys remember, I guess it was last year, maybe 2 years ago already, I saw Mean Girls on Broadway. Of course, it's been a huge hit on Broadway. So I thought this was really interesting news, and I texted you guys offline about it, and I thought, this is what I'm going to talk about on the show. So Tina Fey is now adapting Mean Girls the musical into the musical movie, which is kind of interesting because it doesn't seem like all that much time has passed since the original. You know, usually you see this with the producers and with Hairspray, you know, they were movies back in the day and then, you know, decades later, new musicals, and then even decades after that, or at least a decade of it being on Broadway, then it's a movie musical. So I feel like the timeline's a little sped up. I'm not sure if we need it right now, but
and this is definitely a remake, right? Like I'd consider it one.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I would say this is like a musical remake of the movie. And, you know, the show wasn't my favorite, but it's definitely fun, great dancing. So
I remember you said there was not a memorable song. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To this day, I can only still remember like one really well. The others all kind of fade. I just remember lots of good dancing in the cafeteria. But yeah, The Limit does not exist. This is going to be a whole new thing. I would love to see some of the original movie stars in it, if possible, but it's hard. They're kind of not. I guess they could be teachers. I'm not sure. But so
Tina Fey is too old to play the mom now, so maybe Lindsay Lohan could play the mom.
Tina Fey was the teacher. Yeah, so she could still play her role, which would be interesting. I don't know if I like that. See, yeah, I got to wrap my head around it. But either way, there were some good additional scenes in the musical that I am hoping and expecting they'll keep in the movie musical, just expand the story a little bit in a good way.
Who wrote the songs for the Broadway play?
That's a great question. I am not sure. I want to say it might have been the same person or people that wrote the music for Legally Blonde, the musical, which in my opinion was better music. But I'll look that up and I'll confirm that. That's unconfirmed. But at least Tina's involved. She even said, and I thought of you, Foom, her quote was like, she's been with these characters for 16 plus years. So this is her Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, okay.
So I'm at least happy that she's involved. I feel like if she's not involved, there's really no point in even doing it. Like, this has been her baby from the beginning. Totally. But yeah, she adapted the movie from the book and then the musical from the movie and now a movie musical from the musical. So I guess it's just a mean girl's world, and we're living in it. But I'm excited to see what happens, so we'll see. Maybe Lindsay's free to do something. She'll be an extra or something.
Maybe she's free.
You know?
She's free. Okay, so I just wanted to talk about Sundance really quick. So last week was Sundance, and so there were a lot of interesting movies that premiered at Sundance, and we had mentioned Promising Young Women. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast or we just talked about it offline, the three of us. But we were really...
Yep. I mentioned it as one of my most looking forward to movies of the year.
Oh, right. Yes.
And it was a hit in Sundance. So it just makes me even more excited to see what that movie is going to be. And then also was a hit is the Hillary documentary that's going to be on Hulu. I think it comes out fairly soon, actually. If it's not next week, it's the week after.
And I wouldn't be surprised. That seems to be kind of common now. Like, movies have these big Sundance premieres, and then especially if they have, you know, the digital streaming, you know, release, it's like pretty instant.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be premiering March 6th will be the Hulu documentary for Hillary. So I'm excited for that. I think that Sundance has got some interesting movies. I know that this year departed a little differently because Robert Redford is retired, and so I think that he wasn't much of a presence at Sundance as he normally has been in the past. But some of the movies that were premiered there seem to have gotten some good attention. No, like, heavy hitter, like, big budget things, but that's obviously not Sundance. No. But yeah.
But I think one movie did break the record for the biggest sale by like 50 cents. Did you guys
see that?
There's a movie called Palm Springs with Andy Samberg that I believe, I think Hulu also picked that up.
Nice.
But it's like now, it's like the highest pay for an indie movie at Sundance now at like $17 million and like 50 cents.
I love it.
Like,
that's
something really crazy like
that's so funny.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just saw today that Neon also picked up a lesbian romance movie with Kate Winslet and Saoirse Ronan.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And a period piece, too. It's a period lesbian piece. And
very heavenly creatures.
Yes.
Right? Right? Did you guys hear about Nighthouse? Either Nighthouse or Bright House. I forget the name of it. But it's a horror movie starring Rebecca Hall, and it has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Exciting.
Ooh. They said it's scary as hell.
Very exciting.
Ooh, I'm into it.
It's like a ghost story. Yeah.
Speaking of scary, the DP for the short film that Tom and I just made a couple months ago, Brendan, was just at Sundance for movie he shot called Scare Me, which is going
to
be on Shudder later this year. So maybe we'll get him on the podcast.
Nice.
He's my a friend from high school, so that's super exciting.
He's a great dude.
Exciting.
He's a great
dude.
I love that.
Yeah. So they seem to have a good time.
Oh, and the Taylor documentary seems to be doing well there, too.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it'll be on Netflix next week, whatever. But,
Oh, yeah. Is that already so
yeah,
soon?
It's like
next
the
week?
31st.
Yeah, next week. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
But then, of course, what's really important when it comes to Sundance is some people saw The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City partying with some people.
Oh, my God.
So,
oh, my God.
Apparently,
were they there?
Were there. They were at a party, and apparently they were partying with Little John and Vanderpump Rules. Some people said that these blonde little women look like they are going to have a fun time. And so I hopefully the Bravo cameras caught some of them partying, and I can't wait.
God, yes. That sounds like a perfect way to start a new show. Go to Sundance where you don't belong and crash it.
Love it. Love it.
That's awesome. That's some real news.
Right? That's what I really wanted to talk about. That's what I was getting to. But that's it for headlines and housekeeping.
just give up. All right. Well, you heard our housekeeping and headlines, or whatever you want to call it. Now it's time for our list. Are we all ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, people. So this is when we tell you what movies and TV shows we think are worth watching or worth skipping. So let's see how it goes tonight. Let's go with Fumi first. Why don't you tell us what is on your list this week?
Cool. So both of mine are docuseries from Netflix. Netflix docu has been like off the chain lately. They just keep coming with like hit after hit after hit. And these next two that I'm going to talk about are no exception. So they're both adds to your list. Like, add them as soon as you can.
Nice.
Wow.
The first one I'm going to talk about is The Killer Inside the Mind of Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah,
this is
heard
trending.
A lot about it.
Ooh, Lord have mercy. It is so good. It's three episodes, about an hour, maybe a little over an hour each. And it really goes into Aaron Hernandez was a football player on the Patriots almost 10 years ago now. Was it maybe even that long? He was arrested for murder of a friend who was dating his girlfriend's sister. And he ended up going to prison, and then he ended up killing himself in prison after he was found guilty of the murder. And this docuseries really goes into, you know, who Aaron Hernandez was as a person, aside from just the football player and the murderer. It's really going into, like, how he was raised, how much football was part of his life, you know, kind of like people probably think of him as someone who grew up in, like, the hood or the projects and who associated with really bad people. He wasn't like that at all. He like grew up in suburbia. His father was in the military. His father was like into football. Like he was very, very, very like a suburban type of kid. And it really is interesting how his father was also very abusive, but also kept him very in line with who he was and disciplined him. And after the death of his dad is really when he started to like segue and like go off the rails. And it was really fascinating to see, one, and also two, in terms of this death that happened, how sloppy he was in terms of the evidence. Like, I don't know if this was something that was premeditated and pre-planned or something that he just ended up doing just because he was angry, but the sloppiness of the crime itself was really kind of interesting to see. And also tapping into his sexuality and who Aaron Hernandez
was. He was gay,
was.
Yeah, right?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, it was really interesting how they kind of do it in the docuseries, how it's brought up and how it's mentioned.
Okay.
But it still kind of leaves ambiguity in terms of his relationship with his fiance and whether or not his sexual interaction in high school continued into his adult life. You know, he also was very, very homophobic, and it was interesting to kind of hear audio recordings of him and his fiance talking while he was in prison and her, and like he would mention things about trans people who were in the prison or who dressed up in drag in the prison and the way he referred to them and how his fiance would tell him that's not how you talk to people, it's not how you talk about people. It's really interesting how the dynamics.
Wow.
Oh yeah, it's really, really fascinating to listen to their conversations, their intimate conversations that they had with one another, and then also, you know, the conversations and the relationship that he had with this person when he was in high school. It's fascinating. Honestly, it's only 3 episodes. So I really feel like if you can watch it and you're even remotely intrigued, you should watch it because it really, really, really is done so well.
Yeah, it sounds really interesting. Is it? Does it creep you out at Foom? Out at all, Foom? Like-
It didn't creep me out. It made me sad because I feel like, you know, and I guess this is the case for a lot of people who commit crimes or a lot of tragedies that happen. It didn't have to be that way. Mm. And if you think about the way the world is today versus how it was 10 years ago, we're in a completely different world. He would have been accepted if that's what he was. If he was bisexual, he would have been accepted in today's world or, you know, it. Mm-hmm. The choices that he made and the decisions that he made didn't have to be that way. He really didn't at all. And it really is quite interesting and fascinating to kind of reconcile that with who he was as a person. And even, you know, CTE, did that really factor into the decisions he made and how violent he was? Because he was getting, like, banged up on that football field. It was really, and afterwards, you know, they did say that his brain did have it, so after his death, so it's really fascinating to kind of all those layers regarding him and his life tackled in there. It's really interesting, so watch it.
Toxic masculinity.
Oh, I mean, the definition.
Right? Exactly.
The definition of toxic masculinity. And it's really like, it just doesn't have to be that way. And I think we're finally starting to get to a point where we're having those conversations in society about what that means and how detrimental it is to the mentality of men and women in society. Mm-hmm. So who knows where we're even going to be 10 years from today. But it's really, it's a fascinating conversation.
Wow. Cool. Definitely adding that to my list.
Yeah. And so the next thing is on the lighter side, and it's called Cheer. Mm-hmm. And I basically watched this because I saw everybody was talking about it.
Yes.
I was like, what is this? Yeah. Like, why is everybody talking about cheerleaders? Like, what is going on? And I watched the first episode, and admittedly, I was a little bored. And I was going to have this as a skip. Or an okay to miss. Not even a skip, but an okay to miss.
Interesting. Okay.
But then I don't know what happened. Like, I was laying on my couch and I was on my laptop, and all of a sudden I started to watch the second episode, and I was like in it, like a complete 180. This one character. Oh my God. I was, and then throughout the rest of the docuseries, I'm sitting there and I'm like bawling my eyes out.
Yeah,
I'm crying.
These videos of people crying.
I am in it. I am invested. I am like, we have got to win this competition, Navarro College. So Cheer basically follows a group of cheerleaders from a community college in Texas called Navarro College. These people come from all around the world to cheer at this college because the coach at this college is like the number one in the United States. Like she is the person to be coached by. And this Navarro College apparently wins their cheerleading competition like every single year. Like they've only lost in, I think, 2017. And so basically she's like no hold barred, like we are in this to win. And you follow these group of people who are like in their 20s, and you think it's just a show, a docuseries about cheerleading, but it's so much more than that. It's like you get involved into like who these people are as human beings, their family. Some of them come from really, really sad and really like horrible backgrounds, and hearing how they've uplifted themselves in this community of cheerleaders and how they created this family within this like unit is so touching to see. Breakouts for me is a kid named Jerry who lives in Naperville, Illinois. And oh God, he just broke my heart. But like not in a bad way, but
I've
in like, oh my God, you are a gem and we don't deserve you. Like we don't deserve who you are as a person because we're such a shit place and like world. You are just like the sun that shines. Like he is just such a wonderful person. And there's, you know, some shocking things that happen too leading up to their competition that you're just like, damn, like, what are they going to do now? Like, how are they going to get past this? Or how are they going to move on? And are they going to win? I was texting my friend I was watching, and I was like in the second to last episode, and I was like, they better fucking win this competition because I am too invested for them to lose.
Right?
Like, you know, I was like, they better fucking win. But it's such a good show. It's like, Ladarius, I don't know if you guys remember a meme that came out maybe about a year or two ago, and it was this cheerleader who was, like, basically doing all of these really exaggerated cheer moves, and, like, people were honed in on him. I'll send it to you guys after. I'm pretty sure you've seen it.
Yeah.
He was that meme, and then he's also in this cheer doctor series.
Oh, wow.
And,
making the rounds.
Yeah, and then even just seeing his background and who he is and how he was tortured for being gay and his upbringing. It's just really fast. It's so good. It's such a lighthearted, wonderful, beautiful story. And sometimes you just got to get away from all of, like, the damage and the sadness and, like, the horrible news and, you know, the hate that we are constantly bombarded with, like, over and over and over again, and watch something, like, fun and cheerful and something that'll just, like, make you smile and cheer is that.
Nice.
It's just such a good show.
And how many episodes? Six?
Cheer was, I think, eight. Oh. Is it six? Eight? Is it six episodes or eight episodes?
I looked it up earlier and saw six.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things, so I'm glad you're talking about it. That's great.
Absolutely. Definitely, definitely, definitely watch it.
Cool. Okay, Tommy boy, what you got?
All right, so I'm going to keep on the positivity train right now and kind of piggyback off of Fumi. I had something else on my list, and then given the events of Sunday when Kobe Bryant passed away, I decided to check out Dear Basketball, which coincidentally was released online literally the next day. Dear Basketball is the animated short film for which he won the Oscar last year.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He and his producing partner. And it was apparently very hard to find this little gem of this 5-minute short. And Kobe's production company put it up online. It's on Vimeo now, and you can even YouTube it now too.
Nice.
It's 5 minutes and 22 seconds. Guys, add it to your list.
It is
well deserving of the Oscar that it won. It's just really beautiful. It's nothing too serious. It's nothing too heavy. It's nothing too deep. It essentially, when Kobe decided that he was going to retire from the Lakers, he wrote a poem, a very lengthy poem entitled Dear Basketball, where he talked about how he grew to love the sport when he was 6 years old because of his father's influence and how he fell in love with it and gave it his all and put his heart and soul into basketball and how it gave back to him as a sport just as much as he was putting in, he was getting out and finding it rewarding. And then he talks at the end about how his body, however, is not able to keep up with the demands of the sport.
Yeah.
And so he's going to decide to retire. So that's essentially the poem. The short film is the poem narrated only with animation to go with it. So you see Kobe as a child animated, and the way that it goes back and forth between him as a child and him as an adult is done seamlessly.
Yes.
It's very, very beautiful. It's very simple drawing, very simple animation, but, like, the colors of his Lakers jersey is so vibrant. It's almost like traditional animation meets stop motion kind of. I thought it was so wonderful, and I actually, when it ended, I was kind of sad that it was over because I wanted to hear more. I wanted to learn more. It was just so interesting to hear him talk about, you know, something he loved so much.
Is his voice in the film?
It is, yep.
Okay. Yeah, he narrates it.
Yep, he narrates it.
Cool. Okay. When did you see it, Foon?
I love that, Tom.
Did you watch it last year?
No, I actually, the same thing Tom did. After he passed, I was watching something and they ended up playing it. And I was just, like, bawling my eyes out just hearing him. I actually didn't realize he had written it until I saw that and I started to look it up and really dive into it. But it's such a beautifully done
It's
short,
so poignant, it's too, because
so
it's like...
So poignant and so... it's so sad.
It's almost like... eerily fitting now that he's gone because it's kind of like an ode to his life as well and the music is really beautiful for such a short animated film. There's like really surging orchestral music that just works really well with the film, so definitely check that out.
I absolutely agree with you, Tom. It was so well deserved to win.
Yep, totally. Oh, yes. Totally. And second thing on my list is Netflix's Dracula. Guys,
yes.
This is an add this to your list as well. I dug it.
Cool.
But just be prepared that this is not your traditional Bram Stoker's sleepy version of it. Because I tried years ago, guys, to read Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah. It's hard.
And woo!
I love the movie. I love the 90s movie with Keanu and Gary Oldman and Winona.
A great one. The 90s movie is a great one. But this is Netflix's take on it. It's Netflix and BBC. They partnered to do this. It stars Claes Bang as Dracula, and many people probably won't know him. I only knew him because he was a main regular. Yeah, a regular. That's the word I was looking for. You could tell we're all tired. He was a regular on season 5 of The Affair. So that's the only reason why I knew who he was. But he plays Dracula, and he steps into the role just fine. You know, I mean, he does a great job. He's got the look. He's got the dark, slick back hair, the dark eyes, the dark, beady eyes. Essentially, it's 3 episodes. They're long, guys, so just be prepared. Mm-hmm. They're an hour and a half each. I haven't finished the first episode.
I'm only like halfway through the first episode just because I wasn't expecting it to be so long, but I like it. But you know.
So it's you know, over 4 hours when all is said and done, and it essentially follows Dracula through 3 different centuries, and basically it's just about his push and pull relationship with him and Van Helsing. And that's all I'm going to say, because I don't want to say a lot more, because I will spoil some things and I don't want to do that. The acting is very good. It's super funny, which is unexpected. I mean, there are just some one-liners. Yeah. There's a lot of humor in there. There are some creepy moments. I would not say that it's downright ever scary at any points, but in the 3rd episode in particular, they do something with a dead child that actually kind of gave me the chills. So it has its creepy moments. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's all I'll say.
Pretty gross from what I remember seeing. It's like, in a fun way. Not too, like, you know, gross out, but like just wacky gross.
Yeah. There's some crazy, bloody, gutty stuff. The production, the set design is incredible, especially in the beginning when they start out in Transylvania in his castle. So cool.
And I love, kudos. I love the actress. I'm blanking on her name, but she was in Doll and M on HBO. She plays the nun in the first episode.
Dolly Wells.
I love her. She was also in Can You Ever Forgive Me last year. Is she in it throughout, Tom, or really just in that
first episode? She is.
Okay.
She is in it throughout.
Yeah, she's got some interesting things to do. I was like, what is this version of this story? So,
yep,
cool.
Definitely. And episode 3 really takes it to a place where you're not going to... Actually, the ending of episode 2 is like such a mind fuck. We're like, why? Wait, what? Whoa. And then episode 3 brings Dracula into a place that I'm going to say we've never really seen that story go before. So that's awesome.
Yeah. I've seen on like message boards and on Facebook that like some people love it. And some people are like, this is blasphemous to the story. Like, this is trash.
Nope, it works.
Okay, so Tom, you love it. Okay.
Yeah, I thought Dracula was good, so definitely check it out.
Cool.
And that's my list.
Nice. I definitely want to check out both of those things. Nice. Okay, guys, so I'll wrap up our list with my 2 items this week as well, and they are also TV shows. Well, I know Dear Basketball wasn't a TV show, but, you know, at least short form stuff. You guys had some digital streaming stuff. I'm being old school tonight and going back to cable, baby, because I have two things I am loving these 2 new TV shows. The first one is on Freeform, which we've said, at least offline, that Fumi and I, at least, are like loving what Freeform's doing. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan. And Tom, if you haven't watched it / Freeform stuff, I feel like now is the time, because this show is GAY, honey. And that show is Everything's Gonna Be Okay.
I've never even heard of it.
What, Tom?
Yeah, no, for real.
Turn on the TV, okay? But
bitch, it's on!
Let me... Oh, I know, but it's not on the right channel, and the right channel is Freeform. So everybody, Freeform just premiered earlier this month. This new great comedy, Everything's Gonna Be Okay. It's like a dramedy, but oh my gosh, laugh out loud. I get a little emotional. It's really great. So it's about this kind of odd family. And Nicholas is the lead, who is this neurotic, weird, goofy, gay guy in his like late 20s. And this is no spoiler. You see it in the trailer. It happens in the first episode, but his father gets sick and passes away, and that totally changes Nicholas's world and his half-sister's world. So dad had daughters with a different mom. And so even though they're family, that, you know, they're all kind of like weird in their different ways and different and kind of have a fun little dynamic of like, you know, they're just not real siblings. But so Nicholas then has to basically take care of these sisters of his because one is in high school. And I think one, the younger one might be in high school or maybe middle school. But they're super kind of odd. The older sister is an actress that really does have autism, which is great.
Oh, interesting.
She is so likable, so cute and funny. And then the younger one is just so painfully awkward, as you are in like eighth and ninth grade and trying to fit in with these like girls. And I just love it, guys. It's so funny, so heartwarming. Right at the start of the show, we meet Nicholas's like date slash boyfriend, who's super likable, a little cheesy, but very likable. And this show does not shy away from kissing, some sexual stuff. Like there's some kissing on the stomach and going lower. Like we are showing some things that I didn't really know was on Freeform.
Oh yeah, so they are very they're very adult. I mean, they say like shit on Freeform.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed there's a little bit of like, you know, the basic bad words. But yeah,
is it an hour or a half hour?
Well, good question, Tom. I really don't know because the first episode was an hour. And then the next two, well, one was 30 minutes and then one said it was 20 minutes. So I think it's a half hour. I think the first episode was just a special 1 hour. Sure. but I'm telling you, watch it. It's so cute. I laugh out loud. We love it. It's kind of like a new, there are elements of like 30 Rock in it for me. Like just a lot of good fun banter and weird jokes and, you know, just awkward situations, like everything from you know, the sisters meeting the boyfriend and, you know, one of the sisters is trying to get high with her friends and like finding whatever like pills, you know, whatever medicine her dad left in the house. But it's super touching, super sweet. And I also love the lead actor who is also the creator and executive producer of the show. He was in this very popular show, Please Like Me. And his name is, what is his name? Josh Thomas. Josh Thomas. So if you don't know his name, you might know his face. He's done other shows before, but this is very much his show. And I'm so into it. So check it out, guys. Everything's going to be okay on Freeform. And then my other item is Bravo. Fumi will like this. Sorry, Tom. Actually, Tom, you might like it because it's not Housewives related. But Bravo just premiered a show that I'm so into. I think especially because like my Celebrity Big Brother isn't on right now, which it normally is. And I'm like, I need some mindless like game show reality TV. So luckily, Bravo has stepped in with Spy Games. Have you guys heard about Spy Games?
I am so interested to hear what you have to say because I tried to watch this and I couldn't do it.
You couldn't do it?
So I need to know why you like it.
Oh my gosh. What? So, okay, Foom. Spy Games is not, it's not amazing. It's not the best TV ever, but it just, it gets things just right that I'm hooked. We were able to watch, thank God, with Hulu TV. We watched the first episode, and then I guess Hulu had like the preview of the second episode, which was the full episode, because I was like, oh, just, let's just go right into it. I cannot stop. So Spy Games is like, it's sort of like, it makes me think of that show, The Mole. Remember The Mole back in the day, hosted by Anderson Cooper? You know, it's these fun, like, spy espionage games and like, kind of relay races. And they have to, like, you know, break a lock and get themselves unhandcuffed and all these fun things. And, of course, there's crazy drama with these wacky people. Wacky, wacky, wacky people. They have the very first episode is a challenge where they have to sort of just blend in at this bar, but they have to get someone's phone number. And so you just see like how crazy everyone is. And like, there's one guy that like was having such a hard time doing it. Anyway, I love it. I'm super into it. It's actually judged by apparently real former CIA people.
Oh,
so that's
fun.
Kind of a fun little twist, you know, but each week it's just like any other kind of like, you know, reality competition. Each week someone goes home, they have their, you know, bottom two. One girl is stealing another's a dossier. You can't let anyone see your dossier of secrets. And so she steals it. I'm just so into it. Foom, give it another shot. Maybe have a glass of wine. It's good, fun, mindless TV. Again, it's not Housewives, but I'm kind of into this new kind of territory for Bravo, because they don't really do these kind of fun, like, racy, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, the same thing.
You know, with the time ticking down and, you know, all that fun stuff. So, Spy Games on Bravo, I say add it to your list. I recommend it. So, yeah. So, just to recap our list of the week, we had all ads. Go us. Mm-hmm. 6 ads. And those were The Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez, Cheer, and Dracula. All 3 of those were on Netflix. Check them out. We also have Dear Basketball, the short film that won Kobe Bryant an Oscar. That is on Vimeo and YouTube, Tom?
Yeah, I watched it on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah, so feel free to, you know, probably Google
that. I believe you can also go to dearbasketball.com, which is like the movie site. But I tried doing that at work, and I didn't get any... I didn't see where you could watch the film, but I had read an article that you could watch it on the site. So, I don't know. Maybe someone else will have luck.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's out there. And then sure I had Everything's Gonna Be Okay on Freeform and Spy Games on Bravo, 2 new shows I am all about. So, there you go. Right. That is it.
That is quite a list. Mm-hmm. Now, let's turn to the Grammys. So, we're still in the throes of award season, but this time, the awards this past week, it was all about music. Mm-hmm. And the Grammys, Mark and Fumi usually love watching that show. I'm kind of like, meh, I could take it or leave it. I feel like you see more performances than you do awards, so it's always interesting for me, because I'm like, where's the awards? I want to see who won and hear their acceptance speeches. As if we're not getting enough of that already in January.
I know,
and February.
Tom, you're crazy. I know.
So the Grammys this year, though, was interesting. They were interesting because they premiered on the night which Kobe Bryant and his daughter had tragically passed away, along with 7 other people in a helicopter accident. And they were also kind of a culmination of a massive scandal going on in the Recording Academy right now. Mm-hmm. In case people don't know, Deborah Dugan, is that how you say her last name? I'm pretty sure it is, right?
Yeah, I think so. Like.
Yeah, that's how I say it. So Deborah Dugan, that's how we're going to say it. She was the CEO of the Academy for about 6 or 7 months. Uh-huh. And then she got put on administrative leave because she was trying to bring to light a lot of the not-so-kosher stuff that Boys the board Club. Apparently did. Mm-hmm. So it came out that, you know, they would rig their awards sometimes, that they would purposely try and not give women enough time on TV during the Grammy Awards. Right. There's even proof that she had that board members were approving payments to themselves. Yeah. So there was a lot of embezzlement going on.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Boy. Yeah. So some shady shit was going down, and she was trying to bring it to light. She got put on administrative leave after only being there for 6 or 7 months. And a lot of celebrities kind of decided, well, you know, is this my moment to kind of speak out and kind of bring a Me Too movement of sorts to the music industry, because so much change had come to the film and TV industry from the Me Too movement that started with the Harvey Weinstein scandal and even a little bit before that. So all of that was going on, and Alicia Keys was tasked with hosting the Grammys, and I think she did a really good job of kind of balancing the celebratory aspect of it with the sad aspect, with the uncertainty of what the future of the Grammys is going to look like. But what do you guys think of the show in the end? Like, I don't know. I thought it was a snooze. I mean, Billie Eilish won 4 awards, so she was the big winner of the night. She won the
She's only the second person to have ever done that. So that's
pretty song, record, crazy. Album of the year, plus best new artist. But Foom, I know you have thoughts. What'd you think of the show?
Yeah, I mean, I think I totally agree with everything you said. And I think, unfortunately, because it came off, the Grammys is held where the Staples Center is, downtown Los Angeles. And so the Staples Center, obviously, is, you know, where Kobe Bryant played a lot of games. So it was just a really, really unfortunate situation. It put really an enormous damper on the entire event. I think a lot of people just couldn't really get past, like, what had just transpired a few hours earlier. I agree. I think that the Grammys were a snooze fest. I barely could even really get through it. I think I stopped watching even halfway through myself.
It was also really long.
It was really long. It was almost like 4 hours. It was sad.
3.5 hours.
And also at the same time, it's kind of like when you know, like you've always, listen, the Grammys and the way that they give out awards has always been very problematic. I think that these are always had conversations about the fact that a lot of people are winning who don't necessarily deserve to win. You're ignoring artists who deserve to get acknowledged. And so, you know, what Deborah had been bringing forth to the table is not a surprise or shock to anyone. The night before, Diddy gave a speech at Clive Davis' annual Grammy gala about the fact that he basically put the Recording Academy on notice. He's like, you guys have 365 days to get it together. Otherwise, you're going to start to see a revolt in terms of artists attending. And I think you started to see that this year. Initially, Beyonce, Jay-Z, and Taylor Swift were supposed to be there. And now those three did not end up attending.
Ed Sheeran did not attend, and
he's one of the people who was apparently somebody. They gave the award to someone else a year that he should have won, or something like that. Or Ariana Grande was supposed to. She spoke out last year about the mistreatment she felt that she was getting. I think that the Grammys nominated her this year basically just to get her to attend, and then didn't give her any awards. They snubbed her. And so I think that was her punishment. And I think that people are starting to pay attention and notice that these little things are happening and going on. I like Billie Eilish. I think that she's a phenomenal performer and musician. Do I think that she deserved a sweep, song, record, new artist, and whatever the fourth one was?
No,
I don't think she deserves that one. I think that her album was good, but I think there are other albums that were better. So, I mean, it's just really interesting. I feel like I only watch the Grammys for the performances, strictly. Like, I don't watch for the awards. I really couldn't care less.
The awards, honestly, are
absolutely
meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I'm happy Lizzo won.
I am too. But I do think that the Grammys are going to have to be really careful and really figure out what they're going to do, because I think next year it'll be really interesting to see who attends.
Well, let me throw this question to Mark. I'm going to play devil's advocate, right? So to the whole fact of, like, the argument that people aren't being recognized who should be, or we're not, you know, being as diverse as we could, not only in ethnicity or nationality, but just diverse in the genres that we're recognizing and the talent. Could you argue that the same thing is happening? Well, the same thing is happening in film and TV, right? With the Oscars and the Emmys, and that's simply because of the amount of content that is out there. Well, we're in a new age of music that we're in now, too, where you can get music anywhere and everywhere, and it's just all over the place, and there are so many artists out there. And it's like finding a needle in the haystack, going through it all to find a good one. Do you think it's fair to say that the Grammys aren't giving recognition to people who deserve it? Or is it just that there's so much content out there, it's hard to properly acknowledge people?
That's a good question. I personally feel like maybe it's a mixture of both, but I don't know. I just feel like my biggest issue with the Grammys always is their weird window of eligibility. Because I don't...
Oh, yeah, that always bugs you.
Like, and I know we've talked about it before. I don't even think it's a full year. Like the way film and TV do it, it's like a full year, you know? Like, especially film.
A calendar year, right.
Every, you know, calendar year, from January 1st to December 31st, if you came out in that time span, you know, in X amount of theaters, you're eligible. Grammys, it's different. It's like from October to July or whatever, right? So a lot of good music kind of gets ignored. But yeah, I mean, it might be a mixture of both. I mean, there's a lot of music out there, but honestly, it's easier to, in my opinion, I think it's easier to listen to music than to watch a bunch of movies, because you can be listening to music in your car, on a run, whatever. You kind of need to be looking at a screen. You know what I'm saying? So
I also don't think you can compare the two, really, because TV and film are just now starting to get into this plethora of content, and their categories are like, you can't compare categories for Oscars to Grammys. Like, they only give out 8 awards on air at the Grammys, but they've given out 50. Like, the Grammys, their categories are enormous. There's a lot of people who get nominated.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Like, they have pages and pages. It's like the, it's like, it's really like the Emmys, both daytime and primetime. They have pages of awards they only just show, you know? But speaking of that, like, my biggest bummer this year was, like, Fumi and I love watching the performances, but, and some were definitely good and fun. Like Demi Lovato totally stood out for me.
Camila Cabello's was really emotional.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah.
With her dad, it was kind of weird to me. Like she's just saying, I don't know. It was kind of weird, but yeah. Someone else I really loved, another woman, but now I'm blanking on her. Oh, well, Lizzo? Billie Eilish. I thought Billie Eilish had a really mesmerizing performance. But what I have loved in the past is when you have a country singer and a rapper and a pop star all on stage together and like collabs, you're mashing it up. And correct me if I'm wrong.
They don't do that anymore.
We didn't have any of that this year. And it's
You had Aerosmith and Run DMC, which is guys,
how many times have you seen that?
I know.
I was like,
is this the Super Bowl again? Didn't they already sing that together live? Like, I just feel like, yes, it was fun. And I love that Steven Tyler brought like those two random girls on stage. Like, great. But I just feel like, let's do something current. Or did this have like a special milestone year, this song? I don't think it did. So why are we, like, it just feels like old white men are there to party. And yes. You know what I mean? And it's all the suits that are like, oh yeah, I, you know, have gotten drunk to this song. This is my jam. And it's like something from like so long ago, you know?
And then like Prince, totally, right? Oh my God, like Prince, legend, but like random.
Well, and here's the hard thing. I thought Usher and FKA Twigs were awesome. That was such a fun performance in my opinion. But yeah, why are we still paying tribute to this guy?
Like, I actually found that performance to be really kind of, it annoyed me to be honest, because I thought they did a good job, but FKA Twigs is an amazing artist. She's in a beautiful voice. Why is she being subjected to being a dancer? Like, to say that she isn't a beautiful dancer, but why didn't she sing? Like, that was weird.
You're so right. Yeah, it is weird. She didn't have at least a couple lines, like a nice little solo, because she was working that stage. She looked great. The dancing, really them both. I mean, they're great performers, but you're so right. Like, where's her solo? You know? That whole little thing was weird. But I also have to admit, guys, I find Alicia Keys so annoying. I did not like her as a host.
She's a little boring. I don't think she's annoying. I thought she was
a little
boring.
She's very, like, I know, and don't get me wrong, in the beginning, it was hard. You know, she had to, like, somehow be celebratory and with this devastating news. But, like, every time she was on screen, guys, oh my God, the show dragged. Like, the best part was when she was on the piano coming up with her own lyrics to that song.
She got political, too.
You know, yeah, doing that whole thing. That was fun, and I wish, like, that was it. Like, I just felt like, I mean, the show was 3.5 hours. Don't you feel like Alicia Keys was on stage for half of the whole show? Like, singing?
I mean, that could be because they didn't really have a lot of people there, maybe.
Maybe. That's an interesting point. You're right. Maybe. I just feel like she kept coming back to sing. And it's like, you know, don't get me wrong. I want to see the host. But like beginning, middle, and end. Like you're coming on. And I don't know. Something about whenever she was on, I could feel the time just drag.
So how do they fix things, guys?
Well, they need transparency, I feel. Because they immediately, after Diddy said what he said, they immediately was like, they're hiring an inclusion and diversity person for, and I was bullshit. Like, I don't buy that shit for a second. Like, I feel like they need complete and utter transparency for the Grammys. They probably need to wipe that board clean and start fresh.
Well, luckily that director is leaving, because remember that they did a whole tribute to him.
Oh,
that
was
kind of random.
But no, but like the other board and the reporting academy, because the CEO that was there last year left. And come to find out, he was still paying himself, like, almost $1 million. So they need to, like, wipe that board clean, start fresh, and make sure that it has a wide range of diversity and inclusion within that board. Get some young people in there. Get some old people in there. Get a mixture of races in there. Get some men and get some women. Like, let it be inclusive of music today.
Yeah.
And that's our episode for today. Thank you to Greg, Jay, and Ali for your behind-the-scenes work on the podcast. Please, listeners, go to addthistoyourlist.com to listen to past episodes and to write into us about what we should be watching. Follow us on social, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We are there. There's no reason not to talk to us. And I think
that's
it, right?
Leave us a review.
Yes, leave us a review.
Leave us a review on iTunes. That'd be so lovely, and you'll get a shout-out.
You will, you will. We do check it all the time, so don't make us cry.
All the time, yes.
And we'll catch you soon on the flip side. Ciao.
Okay, peace out.